الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. الحمد لله منشئ الخلق من عدم، ثم الصلاة على المختار في القدم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك على رسولك خير الخلق كلهم. يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على بشير النذير محمدا. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على طه سيد المرسلين. بلغ سلامي روضة فيها النبي المحترم، يا خير من دفنت بالقاء أعظمه، فطاب من طيبهن القاع والأكم. روح الفدا لقبر أنت ساكنه، فيه العفاف وفيه الجود والكرم. هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته، لكل هول من الأحوال مقتحم. يا رب بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا، واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم. هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته، لكل هول من الأحوال مقتحم. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولقد كرمنا بني آدم، وقال الله تبارك وتعالى: ولقد خلقنا الإنسان في أحسن تقويم. وقال تعالى: ورفعنا لك ذكرك. صدق الله المولان العظيم. Before carrying on, a thought came to mind: if it is from Allah and it's good, accept it, try and make amal on it. If it's from Shaitan and it's evil, reject it. But I found great benefit in it. A practical example of our times, we all know. We have this common problem on the phone: when we are speaking, you tell the person, "You are breaking up. I can't hear what you are saying." Then he says, "I'll move to another place, I'll call you back again." Sometimes you phone and it just goes dead. The signal, there was no signal now. He phones back, he says, "Sorry, I was driving, I was passing a place, no signal." Sometimes the battery is gone flat. Sometimes the airtime got finished. And then we haven't got that contact. So we are also always making, so to say, a phone call to Allah Ta'ala whenever we start our namaz. When we make our namaz, now we are in direct contact with Allah Ta'ala. But sometimes also, so to say, Allah says, "You're breaking up." Our thoughts are going everywhere. We are not making that contact with Allah Ta'ala. We made a contact to speak to Allah Ta'ala. But now we are breaking up. Now we are, thoughts are gone here, thoughts are gone there. What is the condition of that namaz? And yet in spite of that, we are the best Muslims. I don't see any guna in my life. My namaz is full of gunas, but I don't see any guna. I wonder what's wrong, why I'm being told that I've got gunas. I try my best. But we are breaking up. Sometimes battery is gone right flat. Whole connection is broken. We are still making ruku, we are still making sajda. The phone is in the hand, and we're looking at the phone. Sometimes you hold the phone upside down, you can't hear properly. That your voice, why you are so, I can't hear you properly. You got the phone upside down. So we have to check ourselves. Sometimes we are talking with the person on the phone, and you can hear that person is saying, "It's so much, come later, do this." He's talking with somebody else. So we are talking with Allah Ta'ala, and we are talking with so many other people in our phone. Our thoughts where and where, not only talking, but we are gone where and where. So Allah make it that we have fikr of our namaz. And our deen is really that deen. that one thing in our deen is more than sufficient for us. Really, at the time of mort, when we will see what the value of one alhamdulillah is. Allah, the reward can be given in this world. The world is too small. How can you fill the sea, the seven seas, in one glass? It can't fit in. The reward of one alhamdulillah, without any doubt, more than all the buildings of the world, the degrees, the universities, the corporate world, all the parliament buildings, whatever you can think of, one alhamdulillah, wallah, is more superior. How can that reward be given in the world? And at the time of mort, when a person will see that, what joy he will go. You say that somebody, when some great good news comes to him, he died. You'll die of that. And really dying is just going now into this. So Allah give us tawfiq, our namaz if we can correct. Any aspect of our deen. As Mufti Sahib was saying, just if our insha'Allah, Hazrat Maulana Idris Kandelvi Rahmatullah Ali writes that insha'Allah, our insha'Allah is when I don't want to do something, I say insha'Allah. Jamaat say that I'll make tashkil, insha'Allah. But we know I'm not going. So unfortunately, but inshallah is to negate completely all one's powers and I can do nothing. I've got nothing whatsoever, only if Allah. Allah is above everything. Allah has got full power. If we say inshallah, if we read A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajim, what a powerful thing Allah has given us. We haven't realized our deen. At the time of mort we will realize. But then that time a person can't come back for 1 minute. He can't come back for 1 day. He'll wish another life I be given. It will never come back. Allah has given us this life and Allah has made it these majalis, tabligh jamaats, moving, small groups. 5 people came and listened to bayan. Sometimes shab guzari, more people come. All bayanat, jalsas, which are done inshallah in the name of Allah, for the pleasure of Allah, all this is to remind us that. So this is very great. So this was one thing, that when we are in namaz, think I am in contact directly with Allah. Let us not break up. Let us not lose our connection. Let us be connected with Allah Ta'ala. The other is that in namaz especially, whole life also. Any person who knows, he's a worker, and where he's working, he knows there are cameras. So he's aware all the time. Everything of his is being watched, and whatever he's doing. And many places everything is recorded also. What you are speaking, everything is recorded. If we also can realize that we are under surveillance when we are in namaz, the camera, Allah's camera is on us. And we are being watched everything. And not only the technology won't reach there where they can, where your thoughts can be under surveillance, where your heart, what is in your heart can be, but Allah's technology from all the time, that it is on our hearts also, on our minds also. So Allah is watching me also all the time. And when this will happen, a person, a worker, who is under surveillance and he knows it, then he knows he's on his guard also. And there is a strain on his mind also, that I'm being watched. Or the person feels I'm free, then that strain is not there, but I'm being watched now. That strain is there all the time. So a person who feels the strain mustn't feel anything hard. The Sahaba, how they were worried all the time. They knew they were being watched. And not only being watched, you will be questioned. Of every year you are under surveillance, but you are not being asked about every detail, every small thing we will be asked about on the day of Qiyamah. And year, if you are being asked, you will be taken for a disciplinary hearing, maybe in an office, 1-2 other people with you there, unless disciplinary hearing, unless hearing will be in front of the entire creation. Your husband will be there, your wife will be there, your father will be there, your mother will be there, everything. Allah made fadal. Allahumma haatibna hisabi yaseera. What a deen, that even that we have been taught. We all got hukukul ibad on us. And how much of rights of people, animals' rights, which are upon us, how we treated animals also. All those hukuk are tending upon us. We are taught, اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وتكفل برضا خصومنا. What a deen, perfect deen. May Allah Ta'ala let us really appreciate this. Of the very many aspects of our deen, one great, great aspect is the position of woman in Islam. Today there is a lot of talk about gender equality, women's liberation of women, emancipation, fulfilling the rights of women, etc. But Islam, Allahu Akbar, how it shines out also in this. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, like ulama have written, just to give us an idea, like a delegation of women go to the qabr of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam. And they said, As-salatu wasalamu alayka ya Rasulullah. As-salatu wasalam. And of the greatest level, the best, they praise. They say, oh Allah's Nabi, what position you gave to us. Then just to think a little bit, that before Islam, the Jews, there are many things, just there isn't so much time also, and neither have I got all that knowledge also, that the Jews used to regard women during her menses in the month as filthy and dirty. They shouldn't allow her to stay in the house. They shouldn't eat the food she cooks also. That was how they regarded. Christians regarded, it's written in their scriptures, that woman is more bitter than death also. That is how they regarded woman, more bitter than death also. And they said that no man who has found Allah has got anything to do with woman. Whereas Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, his relationship with Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, Azwaji Mutahharat, with his daughter Fatima, what respect, etc. So that she, and that is why the monks, they don't marry. That if you have found Allah, there is no place for woman in your life. Whereas the woman is the woman who has given birth to every Nabi. Besides Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, even Isa alayhi salam didn't have a father, hasn't got a father, but he's got a mother. Every wali is born by a woman. What position the mother Allah Ta'ala has given her. The Hindus, it was still now, lately, that if the husband passes away, the woman is cremated, burnt alive with the husband. What position? The Arabs, pagan Arabs which was famous, they would bury their small daughters, they would bury them alive. Islam taught that the woman whose first child that is born is a girl, she's a blessed woman. Mubarak is that woman whose first child is a girl. They, that their faces used to get black and they used to be disgraced. What has happened? A girl born to me and going to bury her alive. One of the persons explaining to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam how he did it. Then when they looked up, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, tears were just flowing. Didn't you have a heart? Forget being a Muslim, a mu'min, a human being. Even stones fall in the fear and the love of Allah Ta'ala. The skies also in the fear and the love of Allah, all the thunder that we hear. But you buried your daughter alive. Allahu Akbar. Allah protect us. And today that same Judge Akbar Ilahabadi Rahmatullah Ali says, Naya Zamana Tera Mu Kaala Ho. This new Zamana, may your face be black. You are Bahar, you are shining outside, inside you are stinking and filthy and dirty. You are dark inside. We have come in the same Zamana. Anyway, Allah Ta'ala, through the blessed deen of Islam, gave women one great honor. For example, Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ. We have honored, given ikram, honor to Bani Adam, the children of Adam alayhi salam, in which are women also. Allah says we have given honor to the woman. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. We have created man, insan. We say man, but insan, in which are women also. فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. In the best of forms. And how Allah created us, that was the best for us. If I'm a male, I'm a male. Allah created me in the best form. If I'm a female, I'm a female. Allah created me in the best of forms. There's no need for a male to dress like a female, female to dress like a male, to try and change our gender. These are all things we are interfering with the creation of Allah Ta'ala. And those who interfere with the creation of Allah Ta'ala, these are major things. Just taking photos and pictures of this creation of Allah Ta'ala, like you are cloning. The starting point of cloning, you are taking a picture of an animate object. The worst punishments is for those people on the day of Qiyamah. And those who go further than that, what will be their punishment? Want to imitate Allah in His creation. So this photo taking, Allahu Akbar. Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali has written clearly that how haram and how harmful the photography is. Allama Yusuf bin Nuri Rahmatullah Ali, how he spoke out openly about it. Maulana Mahmood Gangohi Rahmatullah, Buzurgs of our time. Many of us have seen all these great Buzurgs, that your photography, what a terrible guna photography is. So all these things here, they are of the worst type, the worst type, the worst punishment on the day of Qiyamah. For those people, a person who a Nabi killed, a Nabi came as a rahmat of Allah Ta'ala. But what must be the condition of a person that a Nabi had to kill him? In jihad, at that time, or a person who killed a Nabi, or a person who is a leader of evil. Allah protect us also. And we have to be very careful that if we are promoting and we are encouraging wrong and evil, Allahu Akbar, that is also the worst. And in the Quran Sharif, Allah explained that in Jahannam, the leaders and the followers, many places, that how they are going to be arguing, fighting with one another in Jahannam. That you made us go astray, we didn't force you, you made us, you told us, how many places in the Quran, Allah protect us. And then those people who took photos, they are equal in that punishment with that person who killed a Nabi. Nabi came as a rahmat. He said, La as'alukum alayhi ajr. I want nothing from you. I've just come for you. And you kill such a person who wished your good through and through. So anyway, Allah has given great, great position to women. And then this in this delegation of the women who go to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they said, Oh Allah's Nabi, that we were downtrodden, we had no rights in the world. We were treated, when the husband died, as part of the inheritance. If the son wished to, he would sell his mother. If he wished to, he would marry her. He would give her a son as a slave to anyone. You gave us that honor that you said Jannat lies under the feet of the mother. What an honor that by serving your mother and looking after her, today that sad condition has come of our Muslim people. A son drives his mother to the gates of a old age home. He doesn't even go in. Just at the gate he drops her and he goes away. And now she has to fend. Now she must be an old woman. She must be handicapped. She must be having some problems. That's why he brought her here. And Allah protect us. Whereas Jannat lies under the feet. Islam has taught us that a person who looks after his daughters and brings them up in Islam, Jannat is for that person. A person who looks after his sisters. Father has passed away, parents have passed away, and mashallah, alhamdulillah, there are those people in this age and time who go out of their way and looking after their siblings, restricting themselves. They can live a nice life, but for their siblings and their upbringing, they are going out of what is the reward by Allah Ta'ala. So anyway, Allah has given great, great position to women in Islam. In that, the woman say, you gave us all this, and in the freedom charter, the real freedom charter, human rights charter of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Hajjatul Wada, there also you did not forget us. And you gave instructions for us that we must be looked after also. That we have been made halal in the name of Allah Ta'ala. So look after us. Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam in one journey, when the driver was driving a bit fast, he told the camel driver, he said, you have got goblets china ware, yani women who are made, who are very delicate, be careful how you drive. Today we also are perfect Muslims, but each one asks us, what kind of drivers are we? With our woman took sitting in the car, many times their hearts are in their throats. How we are speeding, sharp brakes we give, the sharp corners we take, etc. And yet we are still perfect Muslims. No regard for, we're overtaking on blind risers. They're overtaking on solid lines. All that, and the woman in the car, they are being, what they are going through all the time. Allah forgive us all. So Islam has taught us how to be courteous on the road also, especially if there is a woman, if your family is with you. All the things that Islam has given, great, great honor to women. And then comes after this, was that first era of the Jews, Christians, Hindus, pagan Arabs, what Islam has given to women, what great position. And now is what is called the enlightened time, the progressive time. Western standards are set by Western way of life, modern way of life. And this is worse than the darkness of the previous times also. If they buried their children alive, today in this time, abortions which are rife. Now I don't know what are the procedure of abortion, but some time ago, a gynecologist writes that when a woman goes for an abortion, and how do you go about it, breaking all the parts of the limbs of that little baby in the womb of the mother, and that the child cringes close to the mother, that my mother is my protection. But the child doesn't know the mother has authorized this. The mother has asked for this. Who you wanted to protect you? Just listening to Hazrat's bayan now, Rahmatullah Alayh. Hazrat says there was a boxing match. And the one person, all cheering the crowd and that. So he says, punch him on the jaw. So one friend asked him, that looks like you're an expert in boxing. These are world famous boxers. And you know better also. He said, I know nothing about boxing. But I'm a dentist. And if they punch one another on the jaw and their teeth break, my surgery is the closest. They will come to me. So Hazrat says on that, that whoever gives you advice also, think properly. That is he giving you some advice for his benefit. Okay. So all this here, the abortion, that the mother is the one to protect the child. She'll give her life for her child. But she has ordered the command of destroying. And how to murder, what murder? Other murders are gruesome. But this, the murder of the child in the womb of the mother, where the child got no protection. And this is called emancipation of woman. Abortion is the right of woman. Nobody can stop her. A woman comes to a doctor and she wants abortion, then the doctor got no right to refuse her. He has to do it. This is called liberation of woman. Woman to live. What a dark zamana we are living in. What an upside down world we are living in. Emancipation of woman and woman's love, and generally for children, that the age of 18 or whatever, now the pair, they can do what they want to. And those years, the children of those years, girls of those years, many neighborhood watches around us, they say that the girls of this age, drunk. They have been raped. They have had illicit relations. She has conceived. And in this state of drunkenness, 2 o'clock in the morning, they have to dump them at the father's house, at the door of the father. Is this called woman's liberation? Is this the protection of woman? And all we are guilty of it. That we taking our daughters and putting them into these, not in the lion's den, not in the lion's mouth, in Shaitan's mouth, we are putting them. And we are paying exorbitant amounts at the US university fees. And besides the fees, the traveling and the dressing and all the other related things, giving them a flat, a young girl. Today she lives on her own in a flat. She's got her own car. This is liberation. Forget what the enemies are doing. ذرهم يأكلون ويتمتعون. Leave these non-believers. What have they got? Leave them alone. They are not well. They are not even like animals. But we, the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as we heard in the ash'ar, as we heard in the bayan, that what is the position of Nabi and his ummah. And we are the Jews. We are worried about other people passing remarks about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doing things. And we ourselves, what is our condition? How are we treating? Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam said, the best amongst you is who treats his woman, his wife the best. And I treat my wife the best. And what treatment? Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam should partake in the housework, should join in the housework. How he used to be humble in the house with his family. Allahu Akbar. These are great lessons that we have to learn. So in the name of emancipation and in the name of liberation of women, today women have been made slaves, total slaves, slaves of fashion, for example. What is the fashion of a Muslim woman? The sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Simple dressing, and living a simple lifestyle. And even today, forget Muslim women, non-Muslim women who are living, for example, in some rural areas, that girl who gets up, peace of mind. If they've got iman, what to say? But even like that, just from a worldly, and a girl at the same time who's living in a big city. And today we get a lot of regard for all these cities. One time in the majlis of Hazrat Shaykh Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, mention was made of New York. So Hazrat rubbed his eyes and he asked, which village is that? To cut us all down, that we think something very big. Where all the vice of the world takes place. All the sins of the world take place in all these kind of cities. And we regard it as something very big, that you have to have wuzu to take the name. On the other hand, Madinatul Munawwara, Madina Sharif, really there to have wuzu and take the name of Madina Sharif. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala bless us to understand these values. So all these discretion, brand names, women in burqa, burqas of brand names, kurtas of brand names, all these things here, that is not the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They have got Christmas cards, we got Eid cards. They got New Year's Day cards, we got our Eid cards, all of this. We have copied them to the T. We are following them, and the saddest part, then we wonder where we went wrong. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali says, when somebody gets problems in his life, and he says, I wonder where I went wrong, he should be saying that I wonder which guna haven't I committed. Every guna our ibadat has become guna also. Our occasions of walimas today, with the photo taking, the drone is there, the intermingling is there, the music is there, all those things, the walima. And then the Quran khatam today, qurbani. Qurbani has to be videoed, everything. Who is slaughtering, how it's being slaughtered, our hajj and umrah. Allah forgive us. We can blame who we want to for Haramain Sharifain, but the hearts that bleed, that today everything has been changed. It is our own guna. Our taking of ourselves is there. The musical tone on the phones. At one time in Medina Sharif, it was either Zuhar or Asr Namaz. A person standing close to the Imam, and those mics which are so powerful, his phone rang and he had a musical tone. The mics picked it up, and music was playing from the Imam's mic in Masjid al-Nabawi, in front of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Outside Masjid al-Nabawi, music is playing, and it doesn't move a hair of a person. It doesn't move a nerve of a person that what is happening. Those people who have iman, they started screaming and screaming, what is happening? Masjid and Nabawi today. Music. The enemy are 24 hours plus awake. Shaitan is working all the time, and we are fast asleep. On our phones now, as we are sitting here, how many of us have got musical tones? May Allah Ta'ala open our eyes. May Allah open the eyes of our heart. So what we have to do is come back to the teachings of Islam. Run from all these enemies of Islam. Their universities, their degrees, their conference places. Today we have meetings, and that we're going to a resort, to have a deeni meeting. Abandoning the masjid and going to a resort to have a deeni meeting. So if Allah doesn't close the masjid, what else is going to happen? Allah's system works like that. When you don't appreciate my ni'mats, I take them away from you. When the people, Colonel Amiruddin, Rahmatullah Ali, once went to Egypt, he made namaz and the Imam read very beautiful, and all Egyptians Allah has blessed with mashallah Quran Sharif. But the particular feature of this Imam, which was very different, he had a full sunnah beard. So Colonel Amiruddin, who was a lover, die heart of Iman in Islam. The first time he came to South Africa was when he came by ship, long before when Tabligh was just had started, or perhaps before that. And purpose of visit, when they asked him on the immigration form, those forms, that he said to conquer your country. This is a jazba. He was a colonel in the army. He was a poet. So they put him back on the same ship and send him away. But he came back and he came back and he came back and he conquered the country. And how? Once we were in one town and there was a Muslim brigade. For Milad al-Nabi, Muslim brigade, music, drums beating, girls walking on the street. And he asked, what's this happening? So we tried to explain to him, say, back in my country, we will get off and whoop them and send them back again. So that was his condition. So anyway, when he saw this Imam, he went to meet him. Imam got an office with the masjid where he meets musallis, anyone wants to make mashura, etc. So he said, I want to meet the Imam. He said, I'm the Imam. He said, the Imam who made the namaz now. He said, I'm that Imam. He said, no, the Imam with the full beard. So he showed the wig, and this is nothing to laugh about, to cry about. Cry tears of blood, that the mockery is being made of the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So he got so angry with him. So, and then what happens in these circumstances, government makes laws now, civil servants are not allowed to keep beards. And imams in those countries are civil servants, they're working for the government. Now they say the government doesn't allow us, but it's our own action. And there are many more examples like this. So it is our action. We all know, just at the beginning of the lockdown, that American police who assaulted that one person, one isolated case, but the effects of it went to all the states of America, through all European countries, every way it went. So our gunas that we commit, and we breaking the laws of Allah, it has got very far-reaching effects. And our good deeds, nobody knows. We spend our one weekend making i'tikaf in the masjid. We went in Jamaat. We went in the little villages. We went where there were hardly any Muslims. Nobody knows. But we spend our time correctly. What good effect that has got on the whole world. And for coming generations, what effect it has got. We don't understand. And on the other hand, we spend that weekend, we went to a resort. And we committed Allahu Akbar. Allah make me maaf for saying this, but some time ago, long time ago, what's the condition today? A father phoned a man, Muslim man, around our areas here, for escort agency for a girl. And when the girl came, the girl got a shock, it's my father. The father got a shock, it's my daughter. This is our condition. And yet we are pious people. And we are upright people. This is our condition. So woman, today a woman, what is emancipation and liberation of woman, that you can hire out for an hour or two and you pay her such a minimum, and that woman has got nobody to care for her. A woman who is one husband's wife, and that one husband will look after her when she's in her difficulties, hardships. But a woman who is everyone's, her jai, she is for everyone. When she's in need, there is no one for her. And that woman who is only for her husband, when she is in need, her husband is for every need of hers. He will look after her. He will see to every need of hers. So Allah Ta'ala, this false notion, which we are not only, we are accepting this, we are living this, that we call, we speak against it, woman's love, and gender equality, but we ourselves are doing it. We have brought it into our lives. Today, university degree, every mother will want, my daughter must go to university. And what is happening there? Allahu Akbar, we all know what is happening. A doctor says he wanted to enroll his son at a university. But when he went and see the environment, he said, I must pay such an exorbitant amount to send my son directly into Jahannam. I can't do that. So this is the condition. So Allah Ta'ala has given women great, great position. From where they were, Islam and only Islam, no Christianity, no Judaism, no Hinduism, no Western culture, no alien anything has given women that position which Islam. It's the duty of every Muslim woman to surrender to Islam, to surrender to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that you brought us in this position and realize our value. Only Islam has given women that value that she deserves, and kept a daughter, as long as she's a daughter, as a princess in the palace of her father's house. That palace can be a tent shanty, but she's kept there properly, it is her palace. And for every wife, Islam has made the husband's home is her palace also, and she is the queen of that palace. Allah has made that the woman where man will go out and earn, and they will come and give it to the woman. All what are, in other words, outwardly, the man has become slaves of the woman. They must earn. Like a slave used to earn for his master. Whatever he earns, he gives it to his master. Islam made it man's work to go and earn. Not the woman must go and earn. That she must see to drop the children to school, to go and pick up children, to mop up the house, to see to the dishwashing, to see to the washing machine, to see to the house, and then to see to all her needs. And she got two jobs. In Western countries, man, woman, they act like they are so, coming from this country and that country, but they have become slaves of this society. They've got no time for themselves. And worse than that, our women who are caught up in this trap also. So Islam has made her that she is the queen. That all is the, Islam has taught her one fashion, and the fashion of Sunnah, the fashion of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu, the fashion of Hazrat Khadija radiallahu, and which will give 100% peace of mind. And this, every day there is a new fashion, and every day there is a new trend. And how are they going to keep up? How many pairs of shoes have our women got? Open the cupboards and how many forget dresses, burqas they have got, cloaks they have got, and all different design name cloaks in there. That is not the life. We have brought our misery upon ourselves. We have landed ourselves in this hell hole. And the way out now is simple. Let us turn to Sunnah. Let us turn to the life of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Let us come back to the masajid. Let us come back to our deen. And not the name of deen. Allah give us tawfiq, the reality of deen. The outside form of Sunnah, Mubarak. Allah bless us. It's a great, great thing. And great rewards are for it. But the reality in the heart, our mind and soul must become Muslim. We must become ummatis of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam from our heart and soul. Not only our tongue, that what is being spoken about Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but my own dressing, woman, no hijab, no scarf, and she's speaking, that we appreciate, she has got love. But at least have the teachings of Nabi Ali Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in our lives. May Allah bless us with this, let us realize, and Islam is that balanced deen that hasn't just given woman this position, but Allah Ta'ala gave man also, and the balance of it is very, very important. وَلَهُنَّ مِثْلُ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. First, Allah mentioned the rights of the woman. One is Allah has given them, that their rights are very important. The other is that nobody is there to fight the rights of the woman. No court also can fight. The judge can just make a verdict of so much maintenance that we pay to enforce it. Nobody can. Allah Ta'ala says, I will fight the case of the woman. And so Allah mentions their case first. Then Allah said, man also got rights. The woman must not forget also. As women have got rights over man, Allah says man has got rights over woman also. وَلَهُنَّ مِثْلُ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَلِلرِّجَالِ عَلَيْهِنَّ دَرَجَةً. And Allah has given the amir position to the man. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that if I had permitted anyone to make sajda to anyone, it will be a wife that she must make sajda to her husband. How much mustn't she be obedient to her husband? How much mustn't she respect? How much mustn't the husband look after the wife? Look after her sentiments, look after her feelings, look after her parents also. Send her to her parents' house also. Look after her parents also. And at the same time, the wife must consider and know who the husband also is. What is balance? And Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, وَعَاشِرُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali says, no court in the world, not the world court, Allah's court has given the command. And Allah has given the command to treat them in a kind and in a suitable way. فِيهِنَّ تَعْلِيمُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَى النِّسَاءِ. In there is treat women with ihsan. One is adab, justice. One is zulam, that's out of the question. Not even justice, that she told you something, you tell her something. No, ihsan. فِيهِ تَعْلِيمُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَى النِّسَاءِ وَالرِّفْقَ بِهِنَّ. And be soft and kind to them. And they are going to make وَالصَّبْرُ عَلَىٰ أَعْوَاجِهِنَّ. They are going to make mistakes. They are going to tell you things to hurt you. Doesn't mean you tell them things to hurt them. You make sabr. And this is the prescription of the Creator of us. And what He has prescribed is a 100% definite recipe for happiness, for success of this world also, and the greatest at the time of mort. May Allah Ta'ala make it that we die with Iman. At that time, the greatest joy of a person's life will be at the time of mort, when he will see the rewards of one subhanallah. And how many subhanallahs we read, how many alhamdulillahs we read. Make shukr. There are so many Muslims who don't hear one Allahu Akbar, who don't read one Allahu Akbar. And we take it for granted. Today a person, I'm so much in my business, and my house is like this, I want to make it better, I want to increase it, I got this degree, I'm a specialist in this field, specialist in that field, I must become a specialist in that, in our deen. Why don't we want to become, increase our deen, our dunya we want to increase. I got extra money, I can now add another room, I can now add whatever other amenities to my house. But our deen, to make our deen, may Allah give us that fikr. Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah.